Sociologist Ottakar Machotka was decorated as one of the leaders of the Prague Uprising. However, as a senior member of Edvard Beneš's post-war government, he became a marked man soon after the Communist Party took power in 1948, and he and his family were forced to make a terrifying escape from Czechoslovakia. Last week I heard all about that hazardous journey from Ottakar Machotka's daughter, Hanna Maritz, who was just 3 years old in April 1948. She and her family were on a visit from the US when we spoke in Prague. Given that Hannah's parents were born around the turn of the 20th century, I was first curious to learn what they told her about some of the fascinating history they'd lived through, including the First World War.
You know, they didn't really talk about it very much. It was just part of the background. But, you know, the whole thing with Austro-Hungary and the changes and, you know, the different democratic periods and all of that was very, very hard for them. I admire that they went through all this, and I wonder how it was possible for them to go through it all. So much suffering for one lifetime.
Many people speak about the First Republic when the Czechoslovak state was founded in 1918, in that 20-year period after that, as a particularly successful period for Czechoslovakia, at least for some section of society. How did your parents speak about that period?
Well, it was a long time ago, but they... You know, when I came here in 80, I expected to find some remnant of that world, and I didn't. There was nothing left. It was a time of grace, where people spoke kindly to one another. I mean, I remember he said that he had worked in the statistics office, and a man would come every week with cash to pay people their salaries, and there was never any problem about walking around with cash to pay people. So it was a very gentle time where people were felt that life was going to be very good, that they had actually reached a pinnacle of some sort of social contract, shall we say. So they spoke about it in terms of a very golden kind of a period.
Your father was a sociologist. Did he have any specialization? I understand he founded the first marriage counseling service in Czechoslovakia.
Well, I don't know about that, but I know that he did marriage counseling in America. Yes, family was his specialty, yes.
Tell me about your father, Ottakar Machotka, and World War II. How was his war?
He was a freedom fighter, so he resisted the Nazis, and he writes about it in his memoirs. There was an uprising, and they did fight against the Nazis. And I heard stories, but, you know, they didn't really talk about it all that much.
And when did your father become involved in politics?
As far as I know, it was after the war, but I don't really know. He didn't talk to me about that. He became part of the transitional government. He became the vice president of whatever that was called, the transitional government.
And that was under Beneš?
Yes.
When the communists came to power, your father was one of those people who, or your family were among those people who immediately found themselves in danger. Could you tell us, please, about your family's escape from Czechoslovakia?
Well, a student came to my father and told him that he was on a list of people to be arrested and executed, and my father left immediately. We don't quite know how he got out because he never talked about it. My mother thought he took a plane, but I don't think they ever spoke about it, which is pretty amazing. And he left my mother with three children, and she died... our clothing black that day, and we set out for a so-called hike in the country. So we packed rucksacks and left. I don't know, it might have been the same day, I don't know. And we traveled around for 2 weeks by train, slept in hotel lobbies, and all the while she was in contact with the party. They were trying to find her a way out. She made three attempts. The first two failed. One was because it snowed and we couldn't leave tracks. The second had to do with the person who would have been taking us across. She got a warning that this person turned people in. And then on the third try, it worked. All the borders had been closed except this one mountain in Šumava, which is called Ostri. It's the highest mountain there. And No one would take her with three children, so she found another group that would take my brother, and my brother was 11. So he went with total strangers. He must have been terrified to do that, but he did it.
And how old were you and your other sibling?
I was 3 and a half, and my sister was, she must have been eight or nine.
Do you have memories of that?
No, zero. I knew nothing about it until I heard about it. Like, I was 10 or 11 myself, I heard about it. But I have no memory at all. But it obviously had a very profound effect on me. But let me tell you about that escape. So it was a group of people and a man who knew the countryside very well. They were smugglers' paths. And there was quite a few of them, so this person knew the paths very well. And it was at night, and my mother couldn't carry me, so a student. It was a group of people, less than 12, I would say, about. So this student carried me, and I met him years later. So it was cold, it was April, there was still some snow on the ground, and I know that one time when they sat down, it was so dark, she sat in a stream. Dogs were barking. There were guards, but they were able to make it up the mountain. It took most of the night. And then when they got up to the top, they didn't know where the border was. There were no markings. So that was a little bit hairy. And finally, a farmer saw them and waved them on to the German side. And then when we got to the German side, it took several days to find my father. He was already in a political person's refuge. And my brother had found him already. His people connected them. And so both of them were at this place. It was called Alaska House. It was a mansion, an old mansion. And my mother, so we hadn't eaten anything for those 3 days. And she slept in churches or I don't know what. And a student then told her where my father was. And it was a weekend, and there was a fence around the place, and she couldn't get in because the guard had orders not to let anyone in until they were, you know, they had to be screened. But he saw that we were a family, you know, through the fence they passed us chocolates and stuff like that, and the guard let us in.
You say that this escape greatly affected you. How did it impact you?
What happens in childhood is very is the foundation of how we are in the world. I would say one of the profound effects that I feel all the time is that I forget everything. You know, this sense of forgetting constantly.
Is it the case also that years later you retraced that journey through Šumava to Germany?
We did, yes. My son and my cousin's daughter and myself. We came back about 5 years ago, and we retraced that journey. It was really wonderful to do it, to see how difficult it was, and just to be there and to complete the circle. And it was quite amazing because, well, it was very beautiful. It was summertime and there were flowers everywhere. So, but there were, you know, now it's a recreation center and people are riding their bikes and skateboards and everybody's having a good time. And so the feeling for me is we don't know what's gone on anywhere. And the whole world is full of places where dramas have played out for people. It's profound, this feeling of, well, this is such a beautiful, calm, lively place, and yet people can turn from being human beings to being something other so easily.
Tell us about your family's move to the States. I understand your dad had already been there, maybe your mom too, in the 30s. Yes. But still, it must have been a big adjustment. They were, I guess, in their late 40s?
Yes, they were late 40s, yeah. I think it was a terrible adjustment. They had been here, yes, it was in the early 30s, yes, before the war. And my father had a lot of connections in sociology. He met with Margaret Mead and some other big sociologists. So he had connections already they traveled all around. They saw the West, which was for them a big deal. The West is much admired here. And so my father had a job almost immediately. We only spent a few months in France and then came here. He worked at the University of Chicago first and then at Cornell and then, excuse me, finally this new University of the State of New York opened up in Binghamton, and he took that job. It was a good job at the time, $5,000. It was a big deal. But yes, their adjustment was very difficult. One thing was that there's a lot of suspicion post-war, and people didn't want to rent us a house. And my father finally said, well, what am I to do? I have children. And so finally we were able to rent, but it was difficult. And they never really adjusted them. I mean, they had excellent English skills, but it was a huge culture shock for them.
Did people suspect that they were communists or something coming from Eastern Europe?
Who knows? Probably, yeah. Well, there's a lot of post-war hysteria, you know.
Growing up in the States, how alive to you was your Czechoslovak background?
It was very alive. At that time, there were still groups of Czechs and Slovaks who got together. There used to be, you know, there was this thing called a slet, which is where they get together and do gymnastics and stuff like that. And then there's a big cookout and with their wonderful sausages and cabbage and stuff. And so we would do that every year, that we would go to those. And my father would often speak. And little by little, those things just went away. You know, people moved on and those groups disbanded, unfortunately. I had a very close sense of culture because my parents kept it up. They spoke Czech at home, and they were obviously very attached and close to it. You know, they couldn't communicate with their families, so for them it was a way of keeping it all alive. Now I speak Czech because we spoke Czech at home, and it's very advantageous. Language is so important for keeping culture going.
Jumping forward many, many years from your childhood and youth, I understand your father's ashes were interred at the Vyšehrad Cemetery here in Prague.
Right, yes. My brother arranged that. He lives in Italy, but he comes here frequently and has many, many connections, and he arranged for my father's ashes to be brought back and for my mother's. And we just visited, you know, the gravesite, and it's a great honor to have them here, you know. They never returned, and my mother could have, but she was not real well at the time, and I think emotionally she would not have been able to handle it.
And how do you feel being here today?
I feel it's home to me and to my family. They all feel very much at home here. I feel like I've completed the circle, and we just love it here.